You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to episode 5 of Roll the Quadcast. I'm Rob Reinhardt, joined as always by my co-host Riley Johnston. We're filming here on October 20th. That's a Sunday night around 8 p.m. Riley, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Always a good day after the Deacs win.
Absolutely. A huge 34-10 victory over the Maryland Terrapins yesterday at BB&T Field at 3:30. Just so many positive things to say about this game. Riley, what was your biggest impression and first takeaway from this game?
I mean, it's hard to know where to start, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of positives. And, you know, I took Wake to win last week, but I said I was being extremely optimistic over it. But, you know, made me look good, I guess, after seeing us come out. I mean, on the first play of the game, Nikita Whitlock, who might have had his best game as a Deacon.
Which is a statement.
Yeah.
Because he's had,
I mean,
he's
even
had
in the last
great ones.
Even in the last month, that's the
statement. Last month, the Army game was great. The State game was great.
But, I mean, he set the tone early and often by just pounding C.J. Brown early. I think he touched the quarterback on 5 of the first 8 plays. He had a sack. He had a couple of tackle for losses. He was the man. He showed why he's probably going to be a first-team All-ACC defensive player.
Definitely.
You know, I think the offense probably had its best game of the year as well. They thrived under the play calling of whoever, Steve Lebotsky.
Whoever called it, we don't know who it is exactly, but, you know, we've dogged on them earlier in previous podcast episodes, but after the State game, they were incredible, and we gave them praise, and you know what? After the Maryland game, they were very good. We give them praise again.
Yeah, we never let up. I mean, I think in the stands, we were almost laughing about how we can run the football now.
You know,
coming out 5 wide with 5 minutes left. I mean, I love it. I mean, anytime you have a chance to beat a team as badly as we did yesterday and you're Wake Forest 34-10 for homecoming, yeah, I can get much better than that.
No, it really doesn't. And you mentioned Nikita Whitlock. 2 sacks, 5 tackles, 3 QB hurries. But as always, the stats don't even do it justice.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd encourage everybody out there who has access to the Watch ESPN app, either through their cable provider or if they're on campus, to go back and just watch that first quarter of the Maryland Wake game. And as you said, the first play alone is incredible, and he is. And it doesn't matter if you double team him; he'll find a way outside of it. But you know, another excellent player and part of that senior class yesterday,
yeah,
which we have a couple to choose from. But I guess I'll just go to the next one. Was Tanner Price, who scored a touchdown every way you could except for returning kicks yesterday. He had a trifecta. What did you see out of Tanner on Saturday, Riley?
I thought he was really impressive, and it wasn't the big plays or anything. I mean, he just made consistently smart decisions. You know, he found the check down, found the guy, didn't make mistakes, and you know, turnovers led into a lot of more possessions for us. And I mean, we've done that throughout the year. I think we're +5 in turnover margin, which is top 25 in the country. And Tanner Price has done a great job this year when he's been put in the position to do so. I mean, he's a thrower. Our line's done extremely better with the open wide split.
Yeah, we were wide again yesterday,
which forces them to adjust or risk not being able to defend the edge, which, you know, we like getting to the edge. So I think overall it's just an outstanding offensive performance, and I want to give a lot of kudos to Tanner Price. He did a great job yesterday.
He absolutely did. And, you know, we'll, speaking of Tanner Price, that'll get us into our drive of the week, I think, because he was involved on some of these. So it's our Flow Lexus drive of the week. It's actually not sponsored by Flow Lexus. And that's the last time I'll make that joke for free. If they want to sponsor us, they're more than welcome to. But no more free publicity for them, although we're very thankful for all their fine sponsorships and donations to the Wake Forest Athletic Department.
I like their cards.
Yes, they have supply cards. But anyway, I'll sort of discuss the first play of this drive. And the drive we're talking about is the drive that came immediately following A.J. Marshall's interception in the second quarter, with about 3 or 4 minutes to go in the first half. And Wake was, I say, only up, 17-3.
Yeah, it was 17-3.
17-3 at that point. And the first play I want to talk about was this sort of the first of two passes from Michael Campanaro on on that drive. Yeah, I think he had more passing yards than Tanner Price did on this drive. But it was a wide receiver pass, and we started in the pistol formation, left hash, which I think is a little bit critical to this play. Three wide receivers, all out to the right or top side. You had Camp was the first, the slot of those three receivers. Then I believe Jared Crump was the middle receiver, and with true freshman Tyree Harris, who had a very, very good game yesterday, was the up top and outside receiver, and you know, snapped it to Tanner, obviously, as every place, well, not every play starts, spoiler alert, but immediately throws the screen to Michael Campanaro, and Jared Crump had an outstanding cut block on the cornerback, and he was really central to actually setting this whole play up. And at the same time, Tyree Harris slipped past the defender. The safety thought that Campanaro was going to run the ball off of the screen because we do it all the time. Sets up, can't really blame him, and that left Tyree Harris pretty much wide
he
open.
He was wide open.
You know, bobbled the ball floated up in the air, but he somehow came down with it. Probably would have scored a touchdown had the catch been a little cleaner, but phenomenal to keep up with the ball. And the safety from the opposite side did a very good job of coming over and trying to stop the play, but it was a big play for us.
It was interesting to me because that kind of happened right in front of us. On first glance, I thought it was an obvious forward pass because it was originally ruled an illegal two forward passes on the same play. And I thought there was no way it was going to get overturned because, I don't know, it looked forward to me, but
it
guess it was deceptive
because the slide
in the shotgun. But it was a great play call by Coach Lebotsky or Coach Elrod or whoever's doing it.
Yeah, who's ever doing it. And that set up I was a huge play on that drive, and then on the touchdown play, Riley, you said something immediately to me after we scored that play, and what did you tell me in the stand?
Yeah, it looked exactly like the play 2 weeks ago that UCLA ran, and I think it was against Utah. You fake like with Brett Hundley, it works very well, because one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
He's quite talented.
But you walk up to the line, fake like you're calling an audible, almost Peyton Manning style.
Yes.
And then you just direct snap it to the running back who was back there, quarterback kind of behind
Dominique
the right tackle.
Gibson.
Nobody picks it up because everybody just assume it's probably a wildcat run. And by that time, I mean, it was the exact same play. I think they ran it to the other side. We ran it to the left side.
Yes.
They ran it to the right side. But flipped to the slot receiver who's running the other way.
Yep.
By that point, nobody has any idea where the quarterback is because he just finally snuck out after the ball is pitched. And they threw wide open to Hundley. And it was the same thing that we did. We had Camp up top.
Yeah.
In the slot, I don't know who was. I think it was Tyree Harris up at the out position, and then I'm guessing Crum down at the bottom left. But we had six on the line. Tanner Price moved up, faked right with the audible, and then went behind the left guard. Snap went right to Dom Gibson. He handled it well, pitched it back to Campanaro, who was coming across. And Tanner Price was wide open at that point. I mean, Maryland must have been in a man-to-man. I don't know if it was a
they were in a confused defense.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, you can kind of throw it out because I don't know. Does the guy that had, I don't know how you do that. If you're spying the quarterback, do you stay on the quarterback? Who then is
when
the running back? Or
the
I don't know how to defend that. But either way, it was poorly defended. It was a great play call because it was third and one. It wasn't third and goal, which made all the difference because if they had been setting up, a picket fence defense on the goal line, it might not have worked as well. But third and one, they had to watch for the run, which
they probably
weren't doing. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant play call, and it worked out extremely well, obviously. That essentially won the game. I mean, that not necessarily the turning point of the game because we were up. That put us up by three touchdowns. But, I mean, if we don't score before the half, then
it's only a two-possession
game. And they could have cut into it. But the fact that we got the ball in the second half effectively eliminated that. And, you know, an interesting thing is the play before that was probably the biggest play because it set up that play. So we talked about the two-trick play, but I think there was an Antonio Ford holding call.
Yes.
I recall a conversation where I said they probably should have declined that penalty. And that's an interesting
Interesting decision. Could have gone either way, but we
disagreed there. One of us said, I don't remember which one of us said it, but one of us said they should have declined it. Either way, they accepted it. And then the next play, Jared Crump was in the bottom left by himself. And I think, like the announcer pointed out when I was watching again, they wanted to run a screen up top to, I believe it was Tyree Harris, because they had
The screen was the look.
And then,
Spencer Bishop sort of streaking, and they were hoping they would have bit on that screen action. And Tanner,
I mean, he did a great. He changed his vision completely across the field, because I think Crump was on a curl or an out route, and when he threw it right at the
opposite side of the field,
and then the Maryland guy fell down coming back, so Crump got a little lucky there. But it set up the third and one. It was a great route. It was a great read by Tanner Price, and I mean, that was a perfect drive, and it capitalized on turnovers on a drive that started at the Maryland 40. So I mean, that's all you can ask for in that situation, and capitalize on the mistakes of the other team.
Absolutely. And speaking of turnovers, we mentioned the AJ Marshall interception, but Bud Noel had an outstanding interception that I didn't realize exactly how good it was until I went and rewatched the game again this morning.
Yeah, it was a great read.
And I thought the analysis was very good on it. So this is not my analysis. I couldn't think, but he was covering the receiver one on one on the outside. He was just running this fly pattern, but the tight end on his side ran and up and then an out route, essentially a deep out route, and Bud immediately noticed that the quarterback was looking for that tight end and that he was going to be wide open. He stepped up on him and made a phenomenal interception and got plenty of yards after kids. So, I mean, our entire team, pick an experienced player, and that's, again, some of the sort of the hallmarks of good Jim Grobe teams is experienced players, and that's what we've talked about. So just an excellent performance all around. Now they move to – the Deeks move to 4-3.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we were 2-3 3 weeks ago, coming off a pretty embarrassing performance against Clemson.
Yeah.
Not much hope. We were down. I shouldn't say we were down, but in the last two games, we've been an underdog by about a combined 14, 15 points. And, we won last week by, or 2 weeks ago, rather. What was it, 28-13?
28-13. So about scoring 62 to 23.
Yeah,
that's outstanding. 15, on both.
Yeah. We're supposed to lose by 15. Combined, and we're winning by 39. So that's
an average score of 31-11.5. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a fun team to watch, and I don't want to say this is what we expected all year, because I know that sounds negative about the first half of the year. But again, kudos to the coaching staff for continuing to do what works and figuring these things out.
Yeah, I mean, we can harp on the option and how it didn't work, and while I do think it was a horrible decision, kudos to them figuring out what does work. I mean, hopefully it's not too little too late. I think we've got three reasonable shots to get two wins left.
Yes.
I would probably put Florida State and Miami in the unwinnable game category, and then
after watching Florida State on Saturday night, I'm not
picking against them at all. And I mean, and Duke and Syracuse and Vanderbilt, I think, I'm not sure we can get two out of three, but
it's difficult that the Syracuse game and the Vanderbilt game are both on the road, especially the Syracuse game.
Right.
I think that's more likely of a victory.
And the good thing, I think the Duke game is after a bye. I think we have Florida State bye and then the Duke game. I could be wrong on that, but that'll give us a long couple of weeks to prepare for Duke, which will be nice.
Absolutely, an improved Duke team. And, again, we sort of ripped on their program a little bit last week, but kudos to that Duke team for – they were down 22-0 against Virginia yesterday in a big
– that's impressive.
A 35-0 run. We're used to their basketball team going on big runs, not necessarily their football team, but kudos to them for going on that impressive run to end yesterday. Riley, any other takeaways from that Maryland game?
Not a lot. Chad Hedlund made a 51-yarder. That's impressive, and – God, that was big in the first quarter.
That was big, and
two touchdowns. That's something you need. I mean,
two possession game, and we called a timeout right before that to think about it. It looked like we had lined up like we were going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we just didn't see something in the defense that we If there was something in the defense that we saw that we didn't like, or we just decided to change our mind. But kudos to that kid. That was an impressive kick.
Yeah, and we both agreed, actually, before, even while the timeout, we were discussing what we thought we should do. And we thought kicking was the correct option. It was fourth and
14 or 13. Yeah. A very long fourth.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, we do rip against kicking a lot. But, I mean, punting would have been the worst that thing, in my opinion, there. Kicking a field goal, because I've seen him make long field goals.
Oh, you think punting would have been worse?
Yeah,
than
I think
going
it would have
been
worse than going for it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we disagree a little bit on that one because it was fourth and so long. But, but that's okay. Hey, the important.
Hey, I thought we had the right one. And we obviously it was the right one.
I agree to. I'm glad we decided to give Chad a shot to sort of redeem himself. I know he's missed some field goals this season, but big confidence booster. And then again, watching the replay, Grove gave him a nice little fist bump on the sideline. A lot of enthusiasm out of him, which was nice to see.
And just on the other side, kind of a more somber note, thoughts are obviously with Stephon Diggs and Deion Long.
Yeah,
they were both
absolutely
likely out for the year after broken bones in both each their leg. I mean, that's what you never want to see
absolutely
happen to anybody, especially players of that caliber.
Yeah, and I saw some report today. I believe Long even had surgery last night, and he's expected to be out for 6 months. Diggs, I believe, is supposed to be out for 4 months, and you know that is an absolute dynamic duo. When we were talking about the previews, going over the previews last week, we definitely mentioned those two, and you just hate for that to happen. It's, you know, it's a violent game, but and it's you just hate for Maryland to be without two of their best players, really. But you more so hate for those kids and who work so hard.
The good thing is, I'm sure they're in great care. I mean, they're great hospitals around Winston-Salem. So I mean,
yeah.
They're in good hands.
Yeah, they are in good hands. So we want to wish those two the best of recoveries, and I hope they bounce back next season and aren't affected long term in their playing careers.
Absolutely.
So Riley, that's an excellent point that you bring up, that we wanted to mention those two. But moving forward to next week, we play Miami at Miami.
Should be a fun, great prize for winning yesterday.
Yeah, great prize for winning yesterday. You get to play the number 6 team in the nation in the BCS rankings. I'm not sure where they will stand. But they
came out about 7 minutes ago.
So I don't know. I don't have, guess not that up to date. But while Riley's looking it up right now. So while he's looking it up, worth mentioning, they played at North Carolina on Thursday. Zero Dark Thursday, so shocked what day they played that game on. But, you know, Miami dealt with some injuries. Duke Johnson went down in the first quarter with an undisclosed injury. I think they feared it was a concussion, so they're seventh. Okay, they are seventh in the BCS rankings. But Duke Johnson went down with a perceived concussion, and absolute kudos to Al Golden and his staff and his medical staff for not putting him back in the game and not risking it, and having you know, sort of a greater perspective on that. But they also lost. But I think now it's just perceived to potentially be a migraine as a result of a hit. So I think he'll be playing next week.
I mean, that's good. You never hope for long term. It's probably not good for us anymore.
Oh, it's not good for us. But you know, it's obviously grand scheme of things, his health far more important than
this
football game.
And just to interject here, obviously this is on delay since we will be putting the podcast out, but
yeah.
Alabama's number one, Florida State's number two in the BCS, so they have the inside track there. Computers had Florida State number three, and led three of the computers, and Florida State had the best overall computer ranking, and Missouri a surprise fifth place.
Yeah, if you look at the Sagarin ratings, you can tell that it's the pure ELO rating they use, I believe, in the BCS, which is not the best system to use, because I don't believe
the pure predictor
from Sagarin is very good. And Florida State, I believe, was third in that.
Yeah, so Florida State's number two, Miami 7, Clemson 9, and Virginia Tech 14. So four teams in the initial top 15 out of the ACC. So that's a That's a good start for the ACC, especially.
That's a very good start, and, you know, we're talking about Miami right now, but they play Virginia Tech on November 9th, I think.
There's some big games left in the conference. I mean, FSU, Miami, Miami, Virginia Tech, probably the rematch of Florida State, Miami, whoever wins that game.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
or maybe Florida State, Virginia Tech, too. I'm assuming Florida State wins because they'd have to trip up twice now for Clemson to take it. So.
I think Clemson's pretty much – last night was an elimination game, and both teams knew that, right. And one team showed up and one team did not. But, you know, back to Miami again. Yeah, Philip Dorsett, a very good receiver for them. We'll be out for this game, but Riley, any other thoughts on Miami other than that? They're very good, as evidenced by the numbers you've just told me and their rankings.
No, I mean, you know, I'm glad that they're going to have it. Look, maybe not full strength, but I'm glad that they continue to win. They beat Chapel Hill last week. It's always hard to win on the road, no matter who it is, really, especially on a Thursday night game. It'll be interesting to see how we deal with it. It's Stephen Morris.
I believe it's Stephen.
Stephen Morris.
S-T-E-P-H-E-N Morris.
Yeah, and he completing 60% of his passes on the year. 9 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Not exactly.
Yeah, Miami, I believe they've had 3 turnovers in each of their last 3 games.
And, I mean, especially given that we have an opportunistic defense the last few weeks, it'll be interesting if we can force some turnovers. I mean, it looks like if we send the blitz packages or if Whitlock, the dynamic up front as he was. I mean, really, the whole defensive line was great yesterday.
Absolutely.
I mean, Chris Redding, Zach Thompson, Nikita, they all played well.
That is a big strength of our team.
Our defense is
good.
Very, very good by Wake Forest standards. And they're
good
by
a lot of standards.
They're 24th in the country in scoring defense at 20 points per game, 41st in run defense, 55th in pass defense. I mean, they're top 50 defense nationally, which for Wake Forest is very, very good. And I mean, we're going to have to create turnovers. Duke Johnson has run for 7 yards a carry. He has 92 carries for 655 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's going to be a challenge, especially with our offense. Their athleticism is what you really worry about a lot.
Absolutely.
Going into
just
it.
Speed. Pure speed.
Yeah, I mean, the teams like Miami, Florida State, I guess I'll put Clemson in there as well. They haven't recruited quite to the high level that Miami and Florida State have.
Typically,
but, I mean,
have a higher tier recruit than Wake Forest does.
And it hides deficiencies, whether it's a blown coverage, if you can make up the
recovery,
speed, or somebody else can help you out and make up the failed play. And I mean, we're going to have to execute to a T if we want to have any chance to win down in Coral Gables next week. I've heard it's sold out, which is surprising for
a Miami sporting event that doesn't have LeBron James on
If you
that
leave
team.
Early, they also won't let you back in at Coral Gables either.
But they typically win when they leave early.
Right, so hopefully they will stay and watch Wake Forest beat them. But
yes,
but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully when they stay, the home team actually loses as a result.
Right.
But yeah, going to be a very difficult matchup, as I said, a 23 point underdog, which you and I both think is a little bit high.
Yeah, I think Sagarin had him at 17. You had him a 3 point. It puts it right at 20. It's not a huge deal.
It's not a huge deal, but
I mean, I was
surprised when I saw
if I were forced to bet, I would take the Wake
to cover
spread.
And
that's a hard line. It sounds like a little too much.
We don't recommend gambling.
Right.
Well,
maybe we do. I don't know if we do it.
Hey, have fun.
Yeah.
But anything else you want to say about that Miami game, Ryan?
Not a lot. We're going to have to ride the momentum that we've had the last 3 weeks, given the bye.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not expecting us to win it, but I've got a little more hope that we can at least be somewhat competitive. So that's what I'm looking for, and I want to see us come out and execute and play our game. And if we do that, the results will take care of themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely a lot more excited about the remainder of this year's football season, and who knows what will happen. Hopefully we can get a bowl, have a good trip out of it. But another thing I'm looking forward to, which is coming up in, I believe, 12 days, is basketball season.
Absolutely. And you went to the Black and Gold Madness?
Black and Gold Madness, yes.
At 7 o'clock on Thursday?
8 o'clock, so a little bit later.
So we decided to opt against the Midnight Madness.
We decided to opt against...
Well, you know, here at Wake Forest, we have to go to bed early so we can go to class.
With
the culture.
I mean, Riley, if we had this on a... Could you imagine if we had this on a... on a Monday
night.
Do you know how hard Tuesdays coming up the next day?
Do you know how hard academically our Tuesdays are, Rob?
Hour and 15-minute classes. They are absolute killers.
Attention span, killer.
But, you know, all kidding aside, it was a fun event. Kid hit a half-court shot to win a sort of a VIP package when Wake Forest plays Duke.
Kind of a win-lose situation.
Hey,
you made the shot. The bad news, you have to watch Wake play Duke. I'm just kidding.
Maybe. But anyway, some impressions that I got, you know, out of the thing, which you really can hardly take but so much out of this stuff. And if any of you have seen some of the, were there, or you see the YouTube videos, I went there not expecting to learn as much as I would, obviously, in a regular game, and not even as much as I would when we go to the Triad Pro-Am Summer League, because there, at least, you know, it's an actual game, 40 minutes. But, you know, this was a 6-minute game. And it's pretty much, you know, Lob City. Chris Paul went to Wake Forest. He plays for Lob City out in Los Angeles. This was Lob City, but not against anything that resembled defense. It was, which, you know, hey, I'm not going to get on these kids for not playing defense in a 6-minute exhibition showcase or thing. So my point is that I can't really make any takeaways from Black and Gold Madness. Looking in warm-ups, Kavanaugh appears to be shooting a little bit better. Our boy Bill Moto did throw down a nice windmill dunk. And
did McClinton or Daniel Green play?
No, they were both. They were both. So
that might be the news that we can get from that. I mean,
So Daniel Green.
Was anybody on crutches, or were they walking around?
They walked around. I'll actually be going to the practice on Tuesday.
Okay.
At 4 p.m. It's a legitimate full practice. So next week, this coming week on Blogger So Dear, look for some articles and recaps and on my thoughts and impressions for that, and certainly we'll talk about it next week on next week's podcast as well. And, you know, we'll definitely have some basketball previews coming up again with the season.
Looking forward to that.
Less than 2 weeks away. There was ACC Media Day down in Charlotte last week, where Wake Forest was picked by the media to finish 13th out of 15th, which I do think is low in going through some of my projections on these teams. We are clearly better than Clemson and Virginia Tech. There's no doubt about that. We should absolutely be better than Miami. And then it sort of gets into a toss-up. Georgia Tech's probably better than us, but I could see how we finish better than them. And I could say the same thing about teams like NC State, Florida State, Georgia Tech. You know, they're sort of – it's sort
they're
of
interchangeable.
This week, it's really going to come down to scheduling and, you know, a few toss-up games here and there. But, you know, I'm excited for the season to start still and looking forward to it. But transitioning back to football here, time to make our ACC picks.
Okay.
And Riley, I got to give you the nod, because last week you went 5-1 and I went 4-2.
Yeah.
You know.
The Virginia Duke game was the turning point. I mean, literally there and in our pick'em, because –
was 22-0, and then Duke just kept on scoring. And
I just missed the Georgia Tech Syracuse prediction.
Yeah,
I had Syracuse, and I missed by 8.
I had Syracuse plus 55.5, and I thought it was a sure thing. But well, that's why I don't suggest you gamble.
Tuned in on the last couple of seconds. They failed the 57-point conversion as time expired. Heartbreaking loss for me.
Heartbreaking loss for Syracuse,
but I did pick Wake right, which was nice.
You did pick Wake correctly, and I picked Maryland incorrectly.
That's okay, Rob. If you had to miss one, I prefer you miss that one.
Oh, that's hey. As I said last week, I hope I'm wrong. So now, we are both sitting at 13-6 in the overall standings.
Yeah, we were discussing this before. I was asking Rob, is that good in straight up pick 'em? Because I didn't know.
We hope so. We're not sure.
I thought it was okay. I was like, we're not picking against the spread, but two for three. That's
not
pretty
bad.
Good, right? I mean,
not bad.
I mean,
it won't do well on a math test, or any test you'll take away, but it'll do pretty well if you're picking games.
Yeah, well, I'll take it.
Or trying to win games, but let's start with a team we just talked about a little bit, Georgia Tech, and they go at Virginia this week. Riley, who you got in that one?
Well, considering Georgia Tech's coming off a pretty big win against my favorite team, the Syracuse Orange, who let me down, and Virginia, I mean, it looks like two teams going in completely different direction. Georgia Tech won by 56. UVA had the aforementioned 22-point victory over Duke, and then or 22-point lead over Duke, and then allowed 35 unanswered points en route to a loss.
Yes.
I think the game in Charlottesville.
It is in Charlottesville.
In the ACC, there's a lot of parity, especially in the middle of the tier team, but Virginia's not a middle of the tier team. So I'm taking Georgia Tech.
I'm also taking Georgia Tech. I don't see any way UVA can score nearly enough points to keep up with Georgia Tech. And last time I checked, the team who scores more points wins the game. Thanks, John.
Mr. Madden.
So I'll take the Yellow Jackets to win that one as well.
Good.
Next game, talk about Pittsburgh at Navy.
Yeah, I thought about this one for a little bit, actually. Navy with their high-powered rushing attack. Pittsburgh's been impressive through the air. Pittsburgh did struggle a little bit with Old Dominion. I thought they might.
Yeah.
Old Dominion's a pretty good Division I double. Excuse me, FCS team. My bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was a good start for them. I think they went up 7-0, and then Pittsburgh kind of settled down and took care of business. I think Pittsburgh will go ahead and do the same and get their fifth win of the year. And I believe I was talking to Rob earlier also about the over-under number. Pittsburgh got to be close to it. They're either 4.5 or 5.5. So Pittsburgh, they've been fairly, I guess, low-key impressive in their ACC debut year.
Yeah, they have. They've been sort of catching people by surprise. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh in this one. Navy, Duke beat Navy, Pittsburgh beat Duke, and I hate to apply the transit
property. Never failed.
Never in a million years, but I am going to take Pittsburgh as well. So now on to the I wonder who you're picking on this one. NC State at the world beaters that are the Florida State Seminoles.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously we both picked Florida State last week to defeat Clemson. I mean, we both honestly thought they were the better team. I don't think either one of us thought that they were that much better, but I mean, they made
51-14.
They made Clemson look less than pedestrian down in Death Valley. And I mean, we know how good, or we know how good Clemson can look. I mean, they beat us
56-7.
56-7, and I mean,
beat a good Georgia team.
We won't apply the transitive property to Wake Forest, Florida State.
We hope not,
because we don't have that many hands and
the
feet. Not enough hands and feet to count those. I think Florida State will be itching to get back at NC State for the defeat last year, where they probably should have lost in Raleigh. And I don't think, even though State had a bye, I don't think Florida State's going to have too much trouble with this. It is possibly a trap week. I believe they have Miami the week after, so I think it goes Clemson State. Well, no, excuse me. I think it's Miami after that. So I think it's a trap game, but I think they'll take care of business, maybe on talent alone. So I'm taking the Seminoles, and I think the national title is kind of in their picture now. I mean, so they've got to be ready and focused, and I think they're going to try and get as many points as they can from here on out.
Yeah, and you are correct. They do play play State this upcoming weekend, obviously, and then their next game is against Miami, who we've mentioned is seventh in the BCS rankings. You mentioned State coming off a bye week. State could be coming off 5 bye weeks against Florida State, and that sounds disrespectful to State. But although State lost to Syracuse at home last week, and that's looking like a absolutely terrible loss, I see no way in which NC State can win this game. Jameis Winston, he is now, along with Marcus Mariota of Oregon, the Vegas co-favorite for the Heisman Trophy, and as you said, they have national title implications, and they need to be running up scoreboards to try and get voters. That's just the system, how it is, and I wouldn't blame them at all. So I'm taking Florida State big time. Next game, the loser of that battle of the century matchup between Florida State and Clemson. Clemson travels to Maryland.
Ah, the Derps.
The Derps.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going to be pretty pissed off about their loss to Florida State. And, I mean, Florida State did probably get...
They may have to run more wind sprints than P.J. Harris did.
I like the inner shell, the continuing theme of that. That's good. I'll give you a point. Let me write that down.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm glad I've made it to one through five episodes now.
Yeah, that's one more than myself. So, I guess statistically, I came out win. And so I'm going to take... Maryland... I'm not taking them. I'm taking Clemson, but Florida State did give a blueprint on how to beat Clemson. Apply pressure and hope Taj Boyd falters, which he did last night in
yes.
a fantastic way for
yes.
Florida
he,
State.
He lost money last night.
Yeah, he did. He didn't look quite as bad as the way that Shaken the Southland did.
And
we won't say that word on here, but in the official game write-up for the SB Nation
yeah.
Brothers site, they...
Yeah,
they went there.
The article titled Midterm Exam and then, you know, failed. And
there were some less than...
Less than stellar words.
Not even less than kind. I mean, they were brutal words that probably shouldn't be used toward college athletes, honestly, at all.
I'm cool if fans want to say that stuff in the stands or things like that. I know I've probably said something stuff like that in the stands, but...
Little liquid courage in you. People say some stuff.
Right? Yeah, a little liquid courage in you. You get some stuff and you get caught up in the heat of the moment. But that article was, I wasn't a fan of it. I mean, it said some absolutely unacceptable stuff. And again, Riley and I are all about being objective, being critical. And after a 51-14 loss, hey, you can be very critical and be very objective. But, you know, there's really no place for... some of the derogatory terms they use to describe, Taj Boyd and their team in general. But I am going to take Clemson to get this one, get the victory.
I think they'll bounce back. I mean, Clemson's not a bad team. Florida State, I think Florida State's just
Florida
a great
State's
team.
Just that good. Well, and especially with, as we mentioned, with Deion Lawn and Stephon Diggs, where does Maryland turn for offense? I don't know. I don't want to say they may struggle to make a bowl. I think they'll find a way to make a bowl. I think they'll beat Syracuse at home, but they are going to struggle for the remainder of the season for sure. So we both got Clemson in that one. And then a team we mentioned earlier who gave our this week's opponents, Miami, a big run with the North Carolina Tar Heels. The Boston College Eagles coming off a bye, travel to Chapel Hill this week. Riley, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty much must-win game for UNC.
Yes,
and I think
at 1-5.
And I think Boston College needs to win this if they want to make a bowl. I don't know their schedule very well, but they play Florida State, and they play Clemson, so I guess they have a reasonable chance. They've got Carolina, they've got State. I don't think they played Maryland yet, so that could turn out well for them, too.
Yeah, they play at Maryland. They still play at Syracuse. They play New Mexico. Somehow they're traveling to New Mexico State, but nevertheless, that's a very winnable game. They play North Carolina State at home, play Virginia Tech at home. So, I wouldn't say it's a must-win game, but...
They're kind of like us. They've got a couple of games they're probably not going to win, and they've got a few games they can win. So, it's a bigger game for Carolina. But Boston College also could use this game. I think Carolina's more talented than they've shown this year. They've had a difficult schedule, but, I mean, they haven't shown up for some of their games. But they looked pretty good on Thursday night against Miami. And I think I'm unfortunately going to go with the Tar Heels here. I think that could be the game of the week in the conference. I think that could be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I think that could be a good game. I'm also going to go with Carolina. Looking at their remaining schedule against Boston College, at State, versus Virginia, at Pitt, versus Old Dominion, versus Duke. I mean, I may sound crazy here, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if they still made a bowl, even though they're sitting at 1-5. They could easily go 5-1 over those next six games just based on talent and the strength of schedule.
I agree.
And those games, for those six games being at home. So I'm going to go with Carolina on that one. And then game of featuring a top 15 BCS team, Virginia Tech. Duke travels to Virginia Tech this week. Riley, what do you see in this one?
I mean, Duke has been playing good football lately. We did make fun of Duke last week, but it wasn't the current team they have. We were laughing about how
the program was
the best in the state right now.
Yes.
May they be the best team in 2 years? Maybe. I mean, they've done a good job recruiting. I mean, they better job under David Cutcliffe. I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it. I think State and UNC just have more. They have better ways to win than Duke.
Bigger
and Wake
commitment
Forest
to football.
Yeah, and I mean, but Duke got down 22-0 against a pretty bad Virginia team, but they came back and they won by 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, it doesn't matter what happened in the game as long as you win it, and they won it. And I'm sure Coach Cutcliffe has some things that he'd like to fix. But I mean, they got the win.
That is a big road win. Especially now they're only one game away from bowl eligibility. Riley, will they get it this week when they travel?
No, they will not. Okay. I believe Frank Bean will have his team ready to play, and I think they'll take care of business and win comfortably over Duke.
I agree with that assessment, and I'm not even going to say anything else about it because nothing else needs to be said. Riley, final game, our game, the noon game on ESPNU. Wake travels to Miami.
As you said last week, you get it out of the way and get on with the day.
Yeah, get it out of the way, get on with the day. Although, you know,
I'm feeling very, very cautiously optimistic about how we will play.
So you say how we will play. What do you think? What's your take on this final score?
Well, I mean, I think even if we executed to a T, we would have trouble winning this ball game just because of the talent gap. I mean, I don't want to sound a little old Wake Forest, but I mean,
Miami has more talent than most teams.
And I think Miami, even if they have injuries, they've got a lot to play for. They've got a lot better depth. You know, they're putting in players that are rated higher than our starters and they're the Miami backups. And I'm not trying to sound negative. I just don't think we can hang with Miami. I think we might be a little closer than most people think. I think we might play a competitive first half. But I think ultimately Miami's going to pull away and win. I'm going to go 35-17.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think ultimately talent will prevail. And they just have a lot more of it than
they've got
do.
A lot of it. Yeah.
And, you know, the Al Golden's doing a phenomenal job with that program. And, you know, will the NCAA finally come out and tell us one way or another whether or not they're going to be punished? I mean, goodness gracious, that's pathetic. But I'm taking a similar score to you. I'm taking 31-17 Miami. So no matter what, you and I are going to both have the same record.
Hopefully we are 5-1 with
Wake
Forest bucking the trend.
Yes, and hey, I've picked against Wake the last 2 weeks, and well,
there might be something to that.
Hey, I'll pick against us every week.
One more thing about Miami, and I just was thinking this on Thursday, with Al Golden wearing the shirt
the tie.
And tie, it reminds me of just a sweaty frat boy. He looks like a dude. According like
he is
hashtag
be a dude.
Yeah, I mean, he has done a great job down there, and I think they're on the right track. Hopefully, they get everybody back and healed, and they. If we somehow wind up not beating them, they'll have a great game against Florida State between 2 top 10 teams.
Yeah, and so
I mean, if we beat them, then sorry about you, but
yeah,
but I'm not
sorry. I'm not sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah. So hopefully you and I go 5-1 this week. Riley, any other thoughts on the ACC? Wake Forest? Anything else?
I don't think so. Our men's soccer team won their 400th game overall in the history of the program with an impressive 4-3 victory at Maryland, number four in the country.
2-0 against the Terps on Saturday.
And Luca Jimenez had 2 goals and I think an assist. And we were up 3-0 early. It was or 4-1 at the half, I think.
That's
pretty impressive.
We had more goals than they did after 90 minutes.
The Lady Deeks beat Clemson today.
Yeah.
And actually, as dumb as that sounds, I think Jake brought that up today. We actually needed to win that to give us ourselves cushion to make the ACC tournament, despite being ranked, I think, 15th or so.
I think we're down to 19th nationally. We had a tough loss against Virginia Tech in overtime, who's I believe, number six in the nation.
It's murderer's row. I mean, in soccer. Yeah. Men or women.
I think Wake Women's Soccer is 1-4-1 or something in the last six games. A lot of those have been road games. And, you know, obviously, as we mentioned last week, without Katie Stengel for the remainder of the year, and then Rachel Musalise, who tore ACL against Florida State earlier on in the season, we've been without a lot of – you lose that much elite talent. It's credit to this team for still being very competitive in those games, and Coach Deleuze is doing a great job over there. And another shout-out to Webb Simpson, Wake Forest alum, who – won the PGA Tour event today, so he's going to bring home a casual $1 million, I believe, which is not bad for 4 days worth of work.
Not at all. That's probably more than I will make in the next 20 years of my life.
But so he's got that going for him, which is nice. Riley, any other thoughts?
I'm happy we're playing better football. It's more fun to watch. We had a great tailgate. I want to thank, in case he is somehow listening, Matt Six's father, Wayne Six, who pretty much brought everything we needed for the tailgate. Brought a cornhole, beer pong table, a ton of beer, cigars.
And he's actually a Maryland alum, but he was sitting near us with his son Matt, rooting hard for the Deacs. And
he's a great guy.
He is a great and very nice guy. And you mentioned Matt Six. I want to give Matt Six some credit because he was posting on. He was taking a little bit of heat on the message boards a few weeks ago, completely unnecessarily. And I give him full credit. He said, you know what? I think we're going to beat State. He said, I don't think Maryland's that good. He said, I don't think West Virginia's that good. I'm not that impressed. He says, I think we can still beat Maryland. And so,
that's impressive foresight by Mr. Six.
So Mr. Six said that, you know, several weeks ago, and
kudos.
Hey, maybe we need to get him making these picks, and he'll be better than the 13-6 that we
absolutely
are.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so just wanted to give credit to him. Thanks to him and his family for that tailgate yesterday. You know, you mentioned – you mentioned we talked about it for 15 minutes that the Maryland victory. I saw a great photo that you showed me in between while we're recording here that Dean Shore took, and it's of the Maryland mascot walking off BB&T Field with his suitcase. Guys, there are 5 minutes to go in the game when this picture was taken. I mean, I know you gotta go win, but that is
ACC.
That is ACC. There was a phenomenal ACC chant that our section got started really well yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was one of our crowning accomplishments yesterday.
And we definitely won the tailgate.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what the spread was, but we covered.
It might as well have been a bye week spread.
It was a bye week spread. But, yeah, I think that'll do it for Episode 5 of Roll the Quadcast. Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to keep cranking these out every week.
Absolutely.
And we're not sure what exactly the schedule will be come basketball season. We'll still figure that out, but we will be sure to let you all know.
Probably throw up maybe a couple a week or something given the game frequency, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So until next time, guys, go Deacs.
Absolutely. Go Deacs.